Missed the Flowserve Baton Rouge job fair? It's not too late. Check out the opportunities waiting for you. Visit flowservecareers.com to learn about open positions like machinists, precision assemblers, and additional manufacturing roles. Check out flowservecareers.com today to learn about Flowserve's competitive pay, benefits, and pension program, and apply today.
Are you looking for more in this world? Are you ready for something bigger? Then we are looking for you. The big-hearted, the bold, the messy and the gutsy. The teachers, the growers, the builders. The skilled, the sharers, the change makers. We need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go all in and all out. We are volunteers, partners, communities, working together, living together, bringing our experience, passion, and joy to building a better world together. From tackling climate change in Mexico, to keeping kids healthy in Kenya, from sustainable farming in the Philippines, to education in Kosovo, we learn more, give more, share freely, and serve boldly. Are you ready to tackle the tough stuff? To go the distance to make a difference? Then we have a place where you belong. Join us at peacecorps.gov.
Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. On the program, I have Jade Johnson. Jade is the co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. The podcast covers the NBA from a woman's perspective. On the program, we discuss former Toronto Raptors head coach Nick Nurse, the 2022-2023 Toronto Raptors season, also the NBA's presence in Toronto, the atmosphere at Raptors games. Also, we talk about NBA players from Canada and their presence in the league, and so much more. Jade is coming up after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Robinson Show.
Not the car again.
Oh, happens all the time with old Betsy.
Have you checked out Carvana yet? They have thousands of cars for under $20,000.
But do those thousands of cars have personality like old Betsy?
Betsy's held together by tape. And there are raccoons living in the engine.
It's a family car.
There are flames on the hood.
Custom paint job.
No, Dad, the car's on fire.
How many cars did you say Carvana had?
Visit Carvana.com to shop thousands of cars for under $20,000. We'll drive you happy at Carvana.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today. Barney. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But we're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.
Missed the Flowserve Baton Rouge job fair? It's not too late. Check out the opportunities waiting for you. Visit flowservecareers.com to learn about open positions like machinists, precision assemblers, and additional manufacturing roles. Check out flowservecareers.com today to learn about Flowserve's competitive pay, benefits, and pension program, and apply today.
Thanks for
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking.
looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Here's Beverly on the baseline. 12 on the shot clock. He touches the paint. Had it knocked away by those active hands from Van Vliet. Siakam in transition. Got it. Turned the corner in about January. Defending Siakam here. And nothing but net for Pascal Siakam. Siakam has a mismatch here. A long two is good. Siakam over Drummond. Connects. No foul called, and Siakam knocks down the short jumper. Van Vliet on the fly. Tough shot. And Siakam with the follow. 2.7 to go. Barnes to trigger. Here's Van Vliet. Got it off in time. Got it! Oh, Fred Van Vliet! All right, Ananobi himself with 8 points in the ballgame. Off the turnover. Here's Van Vliet. Hit that half-court buzzer beater to give them that big lead. And inside, a nice pass to Poeltl. They're trying to pass it out to Van Vliet for three. Got it! Lean in his stance defensively against Van Vliet. Van Vliet playing with his food out front. A high arcing three. Oh! West!
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of the NBA on ESPN. That was Mark Jones on the call of the game from the 2023 NBA play-in tournament from April the 12th of 2023 as Toronto Raptors players Pascal Siakam and Fred Van Vliet were in action against the Chicago Bulls. And currently, the Raptors had a solid year. They qualified for the play-in tournament. Unfortunately, things did not go well. But to talk more about the Raptors 2022-2023 season, as well as Nick Nurse and so much more, let's welcome her back to the program. We haven't talked to her in quite some time, but it's always great to have her back on. She's the co-creator of the Hard Court Honeys podcast. Of course, it's a podcast dedicated to anything and everything related to the NBA and, of course, the Toronto Raptors, a.k.a. We the North. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome her back, Jade Johnson. Hey, Jade, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Ed, thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thank you so much once again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. So before we go into detail about the Raptors season that just ended, I want to start off with talking about, now we can say, former head coach Nick Nurse. We know that Nick has had an extensive track record. Of course, we know about the year that the Raptors won the NBA championship in 2019. Also, the year in the bubble, he would go on to win the Coach of the Year award. And, of course, certainly someone, again, that's put up a unique track record in such a short amount of time. Give me your thoughts on Coach Nurse's time as the head coach of the Toronto Raptors.
Oh, man, Nick Nurse is always going to be a legend among Toronto Raptors fans. It was such an important change at such an important time for the Raptors to go from Coach Casey to Nick Nurse. And a lot like I feel about Dwayne Casey, you know, I'm going to look back with fondness on the time that he spent as the Raptors head coach. But also it felt very clear and obviously also to the Raptors organization that 10 years is a long time with one organization. That's how long he's with the Raptors altogether between assistant coaching and head coaching. And it was probably the right time for everybody to move on.
Yeah, again, he was there in such a short amount of time, and he did great things, of course. A couple of playoff appearances and, of course, winning the NBA championship his first year with Toronto. I want to stay just with Coach Nurse, and you mentioned about just it was time to move on. Do you think with Kawhi, with the one and done, the 1 year he was there in Toronto, of course, winning the NBA championship, do you think that had something to do with it in terms of him and the organization wanted to move on, or was it going on with players? Was there things going on with him and Masai Ujiri? Can you go more into detail about that?
Yeah, so I'll echo what Masai said in the press conference right after Nick Nurse let go, and that there's no one thing that you can point to. I think a lot of it starts all the way back with the fact that as a championship team, the Raptors didn't get to travel and have their home games as champions at home because the following season was in the bubble. So even from then, like, it has been a non-traditional route for the Raptors. Last season, of course, we had Scotty Barnes as Rookie of the Year, and the team seemed to be getting some momentum. And for whatever reasons this season, that didn't happen. Some fans say that it seemed like Nick Nurse had lost the locker room. I don't know if I believe that. We didn't have the – obviously, when you talk about Kawhi Leonard, it's easier to coach a team when you've got a guy like that on there who you can always look to for the right play offensively, defensively all the time. It makes a coach's job a lot easier. And for the Raptors this year, the roster was a bit of an experiment. Scotty Barnes had a bit of what some people might call a sophomore slump in terms of comparisons to his Rookie of the Year season. So it was a lot of things kind of coming together, I think.
Well, you know, one thing's for sure, you know, Nick Nurse is a very talented coach, and it won't be long before he'll have another job once again in the NBA, that's for sure. All right, so let's move along now to almost definitely. So we'll move along now to the 2022-2023 Toronto Raptors. And I want to start off with the gentleman that you mentioned, and that's Scotty Barnes. Again, Barnes, last year's Rookie of the Year. Again, had a nice year this year. Again, as you mentioned earlier, some people may say it was a sophomore slump. I think Scotty had a decent year this year. He improved his shooting in his second year in the league. Give me your thoughts on Scotty's season.
Yeah, so I say some people call it a sophomore slump because I personally don't. I think people forget that when a rookie comes into the NBA and they're really good really fast, the curve for them in the next season flattens a bit. There's only so many strides forward a player can take in so much amount of time. So anytime there's a Rookie of the Year, like, it's not surprising to me that their next season comparably is not quite there. So I didn't have the same issues with Scotty's season as a lot of, I know some Raptors fans did. And like you said, he did improve his shooting. He looked great out there. He still makes the right decisions. He doesn't make a ton of mistakes. And he's always so positive. He's always just so happy to be there. And that's an important part of a team coming together.
All right. Yeah, and definitely, again, Scotty having a nice sophomore year this year. I mentioned earlier improving his shooting. He definitely stepped up his field goal percentage this year. So definitely big ups to Scotty as he made improvements slowly but surely in year two. I want to talk now about somebody that arrived from San Antonio, Jakob Poeltl. Jakob was a nice addition with the San Antonio Spurs in a short amount of time in San Antonio. But when he came to Toronto, he really stepped up his game, and he stepped up the play of his other teammates as well. Give me your thoughts on Jakob and his play during this season.
Yeah, Jakob. I was so excited to get him back. A lot of NBA fans don't know that the Raptors drafted Jakob originally, and he went to San Antonio in the Kawhi Leonard trade. And he has turned into exactly the kind of center that I thought he would be when he was in Toronto. He doesn't make a lot of mistakes. He has great footwork. He's able to stay in front of his man. He passes well. He plays the pick and roll well. Like, he's just the kind of guy that you drop into to whatever system, and he's going to be able to be productive for you. And that's no surprise, having come out of San Antonio. When he got traded, I was sad to see him go, but I was excited that he was going to get to play under Popovich. And it's so clear that how much that has helped him develop as a player.
Yeah, and definitely he is on track. And one thing I've always loved, excuse me for mispronouncing his first name, Jakob, is that his defense is,
yeah,
he's one of the most underrated defenders in the league, and I know he finished in the top 10, if I'm not mistaken, during a regular season in blocks. We talk about blocks, you know, we talk about Jaren Jackson Jr., who led the league in blocks and won the Defensive Player of the Year award, but definitely Jakob Poeltl is someone that's an underrated defender. And
definitely.
I want to talk now just briefly, and I want to talk now about, we talk about defense. He led the league in steals per game this year. OG Anunoby. OG has had his struggles with injuries, but when he's on the court, He provides a toughness, specifically on the defensive side. Give me your thoughts on OG and his play.
Oh, OG is my favorite Toronto Raptor currently on the roster. It's been so nice to see him be a bit more healthy this season, still in and out. But, I mean, that's been more of a thing across the whole league with injuries. But it's amazing to have a guy that you can put out there and know that the best players that come into your building, there's somebody to put on them. There's somebody to slow them down. And not only does OG slow them down, he frequently holds other teams' best players to their season's worst performances. So that's amazing. But also this year, he was able to also step up his offense, which has been a really nice additional piece since for his defense, he's got to be on the floor anyways. And just to see him work so hard, because defense is a lot more energy than it takes to do offense. So to see him running both sides of the floor, being productive, fingers crossed that he's able to stay a little bit healthier next season.
Yeah, definitely, because OG, as we mentioned earlier, when he's healthy, he's one of the best in the league, specifically one of the top defenders in the league. So big ups to OG on having a solid year. He led the league in steals, and again, a solid year for him. He was able to stay healthy for the most part. And I want to talk now about Gary Trent Jr. Gary really stepped up his game coming over from Portland just a couple of seasons ago, and he really made a big difference in terms of putting points on the board for Toronto. Give me your thoughts on Gary and his play during the season.
Yeah, Gary's one of those guys who's just always ready to do whatever you ask him to do. He's the kind of guy that if you ask him to play off the bench, he's going to play off the bench exactly the same as he starts. He's very tough. He's not the kind of guy that's going to get pushed around too much. And he, you know, all of the Raptors had some streaky parts in the season. It's part of why it was hard to get kind of any momentum going, more than, you know, a couple of wins before there was another loss, and to end up at 500. But Gary is hopefully a guy that we're able to keep around. I know that the front office is looking at everything this offseason, including the roster makeup. So hopefully he's able to stay around. And with the coaching change, everybody will, fingers crossed, come together next season.
All right. And speaking of fingers crossed, you know, someone that since he's been a member of the Raptors, he's been one of the most underrated players in the league and someone who's quiet workhorse, multiple All-Stars. Also, he's won a Most Improved Player of the Year award, not to mention he's an NBA champion, Spicy P, Pascal Siakam. And Pascal, again, another typical year for Pascal. He had an all-time high in points per game. He also led the league in minutes played this year. You talk about mm-hmm. someone that is durable, someone that has the stamina. I mean, this guy can go, and he's been like that for so long, getting points outside and inside in the paint, as well as being one of the best defenders. And as I mentioned earlier, his durability. Give me your thoughts on Pascal and his season that just passed.
Yeah, it was so nice. At the beginning of the season, I had a few Raptors friends I was talking to that were like, oh, Pascal's the problem, Pascal this, Pascal that. I'm like, man, you all are crazy. Look at these numbers from last season. And he just continued right where he left off from last season. The rebounding was there, the passing was there, and the points were there. He, like you said, he's a workhorse. He's always playing. It's so remarkable for somebody who didn't pick up a basketball till he was 17 years old to be able to do what he does out there day in, day out. Whether or not he is going to be kind of the spiritual leader, the locker room leader of the Raptors, I don't know if that's really in the cards, but as long as he keeps going out there and doing what he's doing, and he's the kind of guy, he's going to find a way to get better this offseason. He's going to work out. He's going to work on something and come back better. So you love to have that as from your one of your leading scorers on your team.
I want to stay just with Pascal for a moment. We talked earlier about the coaching change with Nick Nurse no longer being the head coach of the Toronto Raptors. There's been speculations about Pascal and his future with the team and contracts and things of that nature. What have you heard in terms about Pascal in terms of does he want to be in Toronto in the long term, or will he exercise other options and test free agency? What's the latest in terms of Pascal and his future status with Toronto?
So my guess with Pascal is that he would have learned from Kyle Lowry while Kyle was still a Toronto Raptor that in free agency, you explore your options, even if you want to stay with the team you're with. That's just the smart thing to do as a player. And I expect, I'm going to rephrase that, I wouldn't be surprised if he does consider other options, but ultimately stay in Toronto.
All right, fair enough. I would love for him to stay in Toronto a little bit longer. I think really him, along with Kawhi Leonard, Kyle Lowry, and of course the next gentleman that we'll talk about in just a moment, Fred VanVleet, that was really the core of that championship team. And Pascal mm-hmm. is one of the few remnants from that team. I would love for him to remain in Toronto a little bit longer. But as they say, you never know. You go and explore your options and see what's out there. And speaking of which, one of my favorite players in the NBA, Fred VanVleet, not a fast guy, but someone that's tough, one of the best shooters in the NBA. Again, he had another typical Fred VanVleet year. Made his first All-Star – well, actually, he made his first All-Star team last year. But, again, what can you say about Fred? Another decent year for him. Top 10, three-point percentage, three-point attempts, doing what Fred does best. Fred in his season.
Yeah, Fred's that guy, right? The bet on yourself guy. He always comes out and works hard. He makes the right decision more often than he makes the wrong one. He's a willing passer. He's the kind of piece that everybody wants on their team. We call him Steady Freddy in Toronto because just he's always even. He's always on an even keel. He's always steady for the team. So, which made it even more entertaining for us as Raptors fans when he had his episode about the refs this season, which, you know, more than one fellow NBA player took their hat off to him for that. But he's that guy. He's going to say how he feels. He's going to play hard. I don't know that he's going to be back as a Raptor. I suspect he's going to want more money than Masai and company are willing to offer him. So I'm kind of mentally preparing for that in advance.
I want to stay just with that because that was going to segue into my next question in terms with Fred and his future in Toronto. What have you heard going forward? You mentioned about Masai Ujiri and the rest in Raptor management. You know, Fred is going to want more money. Can you go more into detail about that in terms of contracts, future negotiations, and what his future could be in Toronto, whether he is in Toronto or not?
Yeah, so the part of it I should mention, too, besides the money, which, you know, Fred is what, like we talked about, his shooting, his All-Star appearances. He is the kind of piece that you could put onto a team that's on the way up, starting to develop, kind of on the cusp to kind of put them over the edge. And I think the Raptors realize that right now we're a few steps away from being that team. And that team's going to pay Fred, I think, more than the Raptors are going to be able to, especially looking kind of into the future, also trying to retain Gary Trent Jr. If we're talking about another 4 years, we're looking at Scottie's rookie contract ending in that time as well. So there's just a lot of things coming together. But also in terms of the play style, it's going to depend a lot on what kind of roster moves the front office decides to make in the offseason, because right now they're playing fairly positionless basketball a lot of the time, especially when Fred isn't on the floor. And when he is on the floor, the offense didn't always work as well with Freddie surrounded by all the 6'9" positionless players around him. So it's also going to depend on who they hire as a head coach. And does that person see a way to make the offense work a little bit better with the current roster, or is the roster going to change? So, like, as of right now, as we speak, there are just a lot of things kind of up in the air that are going to affect whether or not the Raptors try to retain Fred, whether or not he decides to move on in free agency.
You did mention about when Fred is on the court, it's definitely – he's a shooting guard. I know during the Kyle Lowry era, his natural position is shooting guard. And yeah. I know when Kyle left and they moved him over to have him kind of – they kind of have him playing combo, like point guard slash shooting guard. I think Freddie is just so much better just as a pure shooting guard and then doing the defense and also doing the rebounding. But we'll – you know, we'll see. Stranger things have happened. So I would love to see Fred, you know, be in Toronto, but wherever he goes, I'm sure he's going to be a valuable asset to any team. And I want to talk now just about the NBA's presence in Toronto. We know about there's being in the NBA. They've been in the league, I should say, since mid-90s, late-90s, and the Raptors really took off when Vince Carter joined the Raptors, and we know those great seasons that they had when Vince was a member of that team, and then later some great seasons with Chris Bosh, and of course the championship year with Kawhi and so on and so forth. Also Kyle Lowry and DeMar DeRozan. We know Canada is hockey country. We know that a lot of people, a lot of kids cut their teeth on ice, but we know that the NBA's presence overwhelming in Toronto. Can you go more into detail about the NBA's presence and the whole makeup things, how they're impacted in Toronto?
Yeah, absolutely. It's, you know, Canada loves the Raptors, especially, of course, since the championship, they gained a lot of new fans. But, you know, basketball is kind of the alternative for those of us who aren't super into hockey. And I was one of those people, even growing up, all I wanted to do was hoop and I could never find a game. So having the Raptors come, you know, a lot of people think that Canada got into basketball because the Raptors came. No, the Raptors were the answer to a lot of us who were asking for the NBA to be in Canada, as well as the Vancouver Grizzlies back in the day came in at the same time in 95. And the other thing that's made the NBA more relevant in Canada is there are so many Canadian players in the league right now, more than any other country other than U.S., more Canadians than we've ever had before. From Jamal Murray out in Denver. Shaden Sharp is from London, Ontario. Chris Boucher on the Raptors is from Montreal. And that's just, you know, the first three that came to the top of my head. So now there's a reason to follow the NBA at large for Canadians that there never used to be, because there are local guys now playing all over the league.
It's so much fun. You know, me being living in North America, me being American living in the United States, when I found out that the Raptors, well, Toronto was going to get an NBA team, and then you mentioned about the Grizzlies. People in this generation say the Grizzlies are in Memphis. The Grizzlies moved to Memphis from Vancouver, so I remember vividly when both of those Canadian cities were going to get NBA franchises, Toronto and, of course, Vancouver. So definitely it changes everything, and it's exciting to see our neighbors to the north really enjoy stages with the NBA's presence in Toronto. Before Vince Carter arrived and became a member of the Raptors, were people in Canada inspired by not just Michael Jordan, but the Dream Team, and it just took off from there before the NBA was awarded a franchise, two franchises, I should say, in Canada?
For sure, for sure. It's funny, I was just thinking about the other day, I remember being in grade school and playing basketball with this boy that always had his tongue hanging out because Michael Jordan did it. It was the Bulls, it was the Pistons for me. I live, from where I sit in my studio here, I can see a river, and across the river is Michigan. So I grew up on the Pistons. The Bad Boys era, the championship with Ben Wallace and Rip Hamilton, Chauncey Billups, that team. And then I moved to Toronto, and it just, you know, of course, made more sense to start following the Raptors. But yeah, there was definitely a population in Canada that loved the NBA. I remember watching it on at my Nana's house, the All-Star game. All the cousins would be there, all the aunts and uncles. So, yeah, basketball has been, you know, in some Canadians' hearts for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And it definitely sounds like you guys really – you mentioned – the bit, I mean, who could forget about the Bad Boys era? Isaiah Thomas, Joe Dumars, Dennis Rodman before the hair color and the tattoos and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Before, yeah, I remember that as well. That was definitely a lot of fun right there. And I want to stay just with the Toronto Raptors for a moment. Are you familiar with a Raptors super fan named Nav Bhatia?
Of course.
Okay, I interviewed Mr. Bhatia not too long ago, and he's a Toronto Raptors super fan. And
yes.
I asked him about the atmosphere at Raptors games, and he said it was electric. Well, of course, he's going to say it's electric because he's a super fan, and he's been sitting in the front row. He's had season tickets since the franchise was awarded to Toronto. So I'll ask you this question. What's the atmosphere like at Toronto Raptors games?
Oh, Raptors games are fun. I try to get to at least one home game every season. They're always sold out. Fans are always engaged. There's always the game I went to this past season was a Bulls game. And, you know, the fans, every time Goran Dragic touched the ball, booed every single time for the entire game. That's how, like, committed Raptors fans are to the experience and the fun of being there and supporting our team.
Cool deal. And I want to move over now to NBA players from Canada. Again, we're seeing the explosion of NBA players from the Great White North. Of course, the ones that grew up on Vince Carter and, of course, the ones that had a chance to see DeMar DeRozan play. I mean, we've seen a great crop of talent come from Canada, as you mentioned some of the names with Jamal Murray and Chris Boucher, also Lou Dort, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Tristan Thompson, also Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Shaedon Sharpe, just to name a few. What is it about basketball in Canada that we're seeing this renaissance or this, I guess you could say, this wave of great players coming from Canada and making their mark in the NBA?
Yeah, you know what I think this is really about? I think a lot of American fans think that the Raptors were only dear to us after they won a championship. But if you look at all of these players, 42 guys, all said and done in the history of the NBA. But like right now, so many Canadians in the NBA. These guys are proof that basketball has been huge in Canada before the Raptors won. Because all of these boys were already playing basketball. They're already hooping in Canada before 2019 to be in the NBA right now. And I'm so excited about it. I can't wait till one of them decides to come home and play for the team that they grew up watching.
That should be something right there. And again, we're seeing the players are just been phenomenal coming from Canada, those names that we mentioned earlier. And I just want to get back to the Raptors for a moment. We've seen great fans from different teams in the NBA. There's Knicks fans. They have their cheering section outside of Madison Square Garden. There's mm-hmm. Warriors fans. They have their cheering section outside of the Chase Center in San Francisco. There's also Lakers fans. There's Clippers fans. The Milwaukee Bucks, they have their cheering section as well outside of their arena. But there's a specific cheering section outside of the Scotiabank Arena in downtown Toronto where Raptors fans gather at called Jurassic Park. Can you explain to the listeners what Jurassic Park is all about and what type of things do they have to do in that area, whether it be restaurants or spots, whatever it is? Can you explain that to the listeners?
Yeah. So Jurassic Park is an area right outside of Scotiabank Arena where the Raptors play. And this became a thing during the Raptors playoff run where they would play the games, home or away games, but really the away games were the event, on the huge screen outside in the square. And that, as the Raptors continued on through the playoffs, hundreds of Jurassic Parks popped up all across the country. But official Jurassic Park in Toronto outside Scotiabank Arena is there every game, you know, once the weather's nice. And sometimes when the weather's not so nice, depending on what's where the Raptors are in the season and how they're doing. And it's right downtown Toronto from Lake Ontario, very close to the CN Tower. Everything you could want is subway, bus, or walking distance from Scotiabank Arena. Plus, Drake has a restaurant inside. There's Ripley's Believe It or Not Aquarium is close by. There's just anything you could want to do right there next door to the Raptors.
I want to stay just with Drake for a moment. You mentioned that Drake has a restaurant. What's the name of it, and what type of items do they serve there?
It's inside Scotiabank Arena, I believe. I haven't eaten there because it's kind of expensive. It's not like your pub food kind of place. It's a fancy place. It's very nice.
Okay, solid. Well, Drake is a native son of Toronto, and he's a diehard Raptors fan as well. And you heard it from her. She's Jade Johnson. She is the co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. Jade, thank you so much again for taking time out of your busy schedule to be with us on the program. Just tell everybody about Hardcourt Honeys and what's going on over there on the podcast.
Yes, so Hardcourt Honeys is all about the ladies' takes on the NBA. So myself, Jade Auxiliary Things Johnson, I am co-hosted with Shay Vassar, who is a Brooklyn fan. She lives like two blocks from Barclays Center. And our moderator, TJ Rebound, who is from Minneapolis and is a Minnesota Timberwolves fan. So every week we get together, we discuss everything NBA, from the new collective bargaining agreement to what happens on the floor to the drama that surrounds these high-profile, high-pressure situations. And it's about an hour every week. We break down what's going on. We make predictions about our home teams. We do a little trivia. We have a great time, lots of laughs, a little pop culture thrown in there for fun. And you can find us everywhere you can get your podcasts, as well as YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just Google Hardcourt Honeys, and you'll be able to find us.
Awesome. Now, Jade, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. Also, let people know one more time where they can find Hardcourt Honeys on social media, where they can listen to the podcast and any websites. Let the listeners know that as well.
Yeah, so you can find me. I'm Twitter strictly for my hoops social media, so at Auxiliary Things, as well as my co-hosts at Shay Watches NBA and at TJ Rebound. And then for the podcast, at HC Honeys on Twitter, Hardcourt Honeys on Instagram, YouTube, Spotify, anywhere you get your podcasts, we are there. We will be on Apple shortly. We are working on that one, but everywhere else, and as well as your Instagram and Facebook.
You heard it from her. She's Jade Johnson. She is the co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast, giving you the 411 on a great podcast that covers not just the NBA, but specifically her beloved Toronto Raptors, giving us a Canadian perspective on things. Jade, again, this was a lot of fun. Thank you so much. Again, if ever you want to come back on, just feel free to let us know.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. We'll be back with more right after.
Here's Beverly on the baseline. 12 on the shot clock. He touches the paint. Had it knocked away by those active hands from Van Vliet. Siakam in transition. Got it. Turn the corner in about January. Defending Siakam here. Nothing but net for Pascal Siakam. Siakam has a mismatch here. A long two is good. Siakam over Drummond. Connects. No foul called, and Siakam knocks down the short jumper. Van Vliet on the fly. Tough shot. And Siakam with the follow. 2.7 to go. Barnes to trigger. Here's Van Vliet. Got it off in time. Got it! All right, and Anunoby himself with 8 points in the ballgame off the turnover. Here's Van Vliet. Hit that half-court buzzer beater to give them that big lead. And inside, a nice pass to Poeltl. They're trying Pass it out to Van Vliet for three. Got it! Lean in his stance defensively against Van Vliet. Van Vliet playing with his food out front. A high arcing three. Oh! West!
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Leftovers or the DMV
number 97
or house cleaning or Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Jeff, I need more. I need you to start treating me like the pest control guy treats me.
Oh, come on.
He listens to me. Ever since he started using Constant Contact, he uses analytics to understand what offers I really want.
What does he have that I don't?
A well-designed digital marketing platform that makes his small business more effective.
Wow, I didn't even know you cared about analytics.
Get into a serious business relationship. Constant Contact. All the digital marketing tools you need.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You may not be required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-885-6677 or visit ADRQuote.com. That's ADRQuote.com. ADRQuote.com.
Leftovers. Or the DMV.
Number 97.
Or house cleaning. Or
Chumba Casino always brings the fun. Play over 100 different games online for free from anywhere. You could redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. Live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus
terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
All right, everybody, that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. Once again, a big special thank you to Jay Johnson, co-host of the Hardcourt Honeys podcast. Make sure you check out the podcast on the various social media platforms as well as where you listen, you get wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Again, a big special thank you to Jade for coming on the program to talk about her Toronto Raptors and the NBA's presence in Toronto as well as Raptors games and, of course, NBA players being from Canada and their presence in the association. Until next time, everybody, remember, put God first in everything you do and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping and our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow. That was fast.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers. One love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers we'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast.
tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you want to keep dipping.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.
Thanks for switching lanes to Raising Cane's.
One box combo, please.
That's four juicy chicken fingers. We'll start cooking. Garlicky butter Texas toast tastes as good as it's looking. Fresh coleslaw and crispy fries you won't be skipping. And our secret cane sauce you'll want to keep dipping. Plus, our lemonade or iced tea made fresh today by me. Yo, 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 here's your chicken to go.
Wow, that was fast.
Raising Cane's Chicken Fingers, one love.